Hello and welcome to Sunday Messages with Fairmount Friends Church. We're so glad that you are joining us. You can find out more on www.fairmountfriendschurch.org. Here's Pastor Brock Meyer.
That was a lot of fun, huh? I'll tell you a couple things that I enjoyed watching, obviously the kids, but every so often I would peek out and catch the parents. And you can tell a lot about the personality of a parent when their kid is up on stage. And for some of them, just laughing and taking it all in. For some of them, like, stop it right now. Stop it. I'm supposed to be acting like Jesus. Wait till I get in the car with you. We're going to really act like Jesus. That was a joy. Thank you to all of the teachers that were putting that on and to our Christian Ed class that they've been practicing for a month to get all that stuff in. And so thank you to parents for bringing them out for extra practices and things like that. So that was a joy. And every year it truly is. I want to share some news that's some tough news, but that our church family needs to hear, because a legend in our church family has gone to be with the Lord in Joanne Peacock. And Miss Joanne, she passed away yesterday at 7:57. She breathed her last breath on the earth and her first in heaven. And I got a great phone call from Reese yesterday, and as he was sharing the news with me, and the family is doing incredibly well. They're grieving, and the grief hurts, but they are very grateful for the gift of who Joanne Peacock has been as a mama, as a grandmother, as a community member. Man, she loved her church, and the Peacock family for generations and generations have built this church. And whenever I first started with Joanne, I knew that the first miracle that the Lord was going to have to perform was Joanne to actually like me. And you're not us, man. You're not this Quaker. You're not, you know, this sort of a, you know, guy. We're not sure about your messages. And then she walks by me as I'm greeting people as we're exiting the service. And only the way that Joanne could, for most people, I try to at least shake their hand or give them a hug. And Joanne didn't want to do either. And instead, she, with the back of her hand, she just smacks me in the stomach, and she said, "I like you, Brock," as she walked out. And then it was either for my birthday or for a pastor appreciation, she wrote me a card, and on the bottom, she signed it, and she said, "I like you, Brock." And every time that we would leave, I said, "I like you, Joanne." She said, "I like you, Brock." And we would communicate back one to another. I texted Reese this morning, and I said, "I wonder what kind of worship experience Joanne's experiencing on her first Sunday morning in heaven. What must that worship experience be like?" And I know that she's having an encounter with Jesus, and I know that her body is totally healed, and she is totally restored. And man, if there's ever been one of those matriarch mamas in our house, it's been this woman, and we just honor her, and we celebrate her. And I just wanted to take a moment just to pause and to properly just recognize who Joanne has been to us. If I could, is there a bulletin or an old piece of paper? I apologize, but I've got a piece of gum. Now, there it is. All right, there it is. All right. I did not want to go the next 45 minutes, Kathy, while I preach. That was really, really funny. But no, I do want to preach a message this morning. And then right after the service, instead of greeting everyone, we're going to go right down to the basement, and we're going to have a meal together. And we want to honor and celebrate the ladies from Compass Rose. We're so grateful that y'all are with us, and we've got a spread for y'all. And we really just want to spend some time with you guys. If you would, flip with me in your Bible to Matthew chapter 2. We're going to hang here one more time. And instead of having the scriptures up on the board, I want us to hold the scriptures this morning. So whether that's an iPad, that's a phone, that's your Bible, whatever it is that you have. But I want us to hold these scriptures as we read this story about Jesus. Last week, I talked about this collision of kingdoms, and really a collision of two kings that both had the title King of the Jews. And King Herod, who was Herod the Great, was the King of the Jews. And then, not just whispers, but shouts, was the prophesied one has been born. Who is the King of the Jews? And Herod's, all of his insecurities start getting fleshed out. Just to introduce you, just to do a quick kind of recap of who King Herod was. King Herod was a man who was basically Rome's puppet king. He was reigning and ruling over the Jews, but really as Rome was marching throughout the land, they had Herod, who was going to lead the Jews and pretty much lead them into slavery to the Romans. He was a man who marched with 30,000 infantry and 6,000 cavalry. This guy was marching across the land. He also had a wake of blood in his trail wherever he would go. This was a man who thought that his wife was trying to poison him, so he had his own wife murdered. Thought his two sons were trying to steal the throne, had his two sons murdered. The saying was, it's safer to be Herod's pig than to be Herod's son, because Herod and all of Jews don't like pigs, so you're safe. But he also doesn't like his own family, and he's going to kill you. And so this is the kind of Herod that we have. At one point, he has murdered 46 of the Sanhedrin, which would have been like their Supreme Court. Can you imagine the president calling the Supreme Court together and then having 46 of them slain right there? Can you imagine living in a country where that is your ruler? This is who King Herod is. And Jesus is born into the teeth of one of the hardest times and one of the most ruthless rulers in all of history. So when the Bible starts with Matthew chapter 2, saying that Jesus was born while King Herod was reigning, we just think that we just kind of pass through that as if it's kind of trying to nail down the time in which Jesus was born. But I want to contend that they're trying to set the stage to the intense circumstances in which Jesus came. And if I could encourage us this morning, as we're reading this passage of Scripture, to also process inside your own life, what are the intense circumstances that I'm going through? And is it possible that Jesus wants to come in the midst of the most intense hardships and seasons of our life? Is that a deeper meaning for Christmas? So in Matthew chapter 2 and in verse 1, it says this: After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and the teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. In Bethlehem, in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found from them the exact time that the star had appeared. Verses 8 through 11 tell that this child has been born, and the Magi come and they give gifts to Jesus. Let's drop to verse 12. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they, meaning the Magi is just a short word for magician. It's these magicians, it's the wise men that are looking at the stars. The Magi returned to their country by another route. And when they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child and kill him. So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys of Bethlehem and in its vicinity who were 2 years old and under. We want everybody to listen to this, but specifically I want our kids who are still that stayed in the service, as well as our ladies from Compass Rose, to listen to this, because Jesus had a very interesting and at times hard childhood. And maybe you're still in your childhood and you're kind of going through that. I want you to kind of get in touch with Jesus' birth and his childhood. To be born, Jesus had to leave. He wasn't allowed to stay where he was. There was drama. There was some family drama. There was pressure. Joseph even thought about divorcing Mary to leave her. There's all these pressures. There's whispers. Who is the baby daddy? And Joseph's not the baby daddy. And he was raised, Jesus is raised by a man who's not his father, but we could call him a stepfather. He's raised into a unique situation. He's on the move from the jump. And if you've had to move around often, so did Jesus. And he comes from Nazareth, but he's born in Bethlehem. But as soon as that happens, he's got to get to stepping. And they're out of there and they're off to Egypt. And he's got to stay there for a while. And he's just misplaced. And he's constantly in different surroundings and always around different people. And maybe for some of our Compass Rose ladies, you're thinking, man, I am on the move all the time. And family life looks different. And now I'm surrounded by a whole bunch of people that I don't know. What in the world? Can I tell you that we have this God who's not stoic and disconnected? Jesus knows exactly what it means to be shuffled around and in different scenes and different situations. For some of you kids, I just want to encourage you right now that Jesus is a God who is acquainted with our pain, our confusion sometimes, our lostness. He knows what that reality is like. He knows what it's like to be the person who's surrounded by scandal and whispers. Mary knows what that's like. To be pregnant and not married. She knows all of this stuff. Jesus is a God who is acquainted with our suffering. In Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, it says, "Therefore the Lord himself," we've got this picture here, "the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and we will call his name Emmanuel." This name Emmanuel means it's the God who is with us. In Jesus, you get a version of God that nothing else ever has given us. He enters in. This is the God who doesn't make us climb a mountain to get him. This is the kind of God who comes down the mountain to be with us. Jesus becomes the personification of who we've always seen as God, but yet he fleshes it out in a totally different way. We don't have to have holy prayers and holy writ in order to connect to this God. Jesus cuts out all of the middleman and says, "I just want to be with you. I am the God who is with you. I am Emmanuel who comes down to be with you." We see this really cool story in John chapter 11, and here's the story. It's Jesus who has a really good friend in the man of Lazarus. Jesus hears the news. Lazarus is sick. We don't know how long it took for news to travel that Lazarus is sick, but Jesus, it says, he waited two more days in John 11. He waits two more days before he is on the move, going to Lazarus. On the way to Lazarus, he's telling his disciples, "Lazarus is only sleeping, but whenever I come, he'll wake up." The disciples, who are clueless, says, "Well, Jesus, it's good that he's sleeping. He'll feel better when he wakes up." Jesus says, "How long do I have to hang with you guys like this?" He goes, "This guy, Lazarus, he is dead when we'll show up, but whenever I come, he will wake up when we get there." And so they're on their way, and once they get there, it says that Lazarus had been in the tomb for days. He'd been there for a while. And then Jesus comes. They said, Jesus, had you only been here, you could have healed him, you could have raised him up, and all would have been restored. Where were you? In your own life, anybody ever just wonder, where were you? This good and gracious God. Why were you asleep at the wheel? Why were you not intensely engaged in this moment of my life? And Jesus is hearing the feedback, and he's in this moment. And it says that Jesus walks up to the tomb. And in the original text of the scripture, it says that he snorts at the tomb as a bull or a horse would snort. And then it's the shortest verse in the entire Bible. Jesus wept. And he's in this moment and he's broken and he's crushed and he feels all of it. He's feeling the weight and the loss, and he's weeping and he's mourning. He's not a God who is so disconnected. He is a God who feels all of the pain and all of the tears and all of the sorrows of loss, of death, of sickness, of getting ripped off, of things being pulled from your life. Jesus, this is his good buddy who is now dead. And if just give him 5 minutes, give him 10 minutes, and in 10 minutes, this guy's going to be alive again. And Jesus knows that to be true. But Jesus isn't too quick to move past all of the grief and all the pain. He sits in it. He just hangs in it. And for me, in my life, my ego probably would have been too big. I probably would have strut in there with my Conor McGregor strut and said, hey, wipe your eyes. Watch this. And instead of watch this, he says, we're going to feel this. And we're going to sit in this. And I want to be with you in this. I'm Emmanuel. I'm the God who's in it with you. And I love that Jesus wasn't disconnected. The Bible says that Jesus would get hungry, that Jesus would get tired, that Jesus would be wiped out, that Jesus had the haters, that Jesus felt the pressure, Jesus knew temptations, Jesus felt all of it, and Jesus was broken, and he wept. And he hates death, and he snorts at the tomb, and he's frustrated like a bull. He's ready to go at death in this moment. And he could have just flipped the script. And he doesn't. And he says, I just want to be with you in this moment. You know, whenever we go through these hardships in life, I want us to be reminded of Emmanuel, this God who was born of a woman, who was born into the harshest ruler ever, who was born under Roman rule, who was born under intense pressure, who was born with scandal all around him. He entered into all of the suffering. It could have been an easy gig. He could have walked the planet. It would have been all good. They hated him. They took his throat. They were after this man. He said, I want to engage in all kinds of hardships. I want to feel this whole human experience with you. That's the God that we have. And in order to connect to this God, we don't need sacrifices and we don't need to have all these holy prayers. Can I tell you one of the most prayers that Jesus knows intimately is just to cry. He knows that. Just to weep. He's like, oh, I wept. I know what that's like. Bring your tears and bring your heartache and bring your pain and bring all of that stuff. That's what I've come to connect with. That's the God who is with you. That is the purpose of Emmanuel. And if I could just hear Jesus say today, I am with you. Merry Christmas. This is the good news of the gospel. I have come. I have engaged. I haven't just taken you away from all of the pain, but I'm going to be with you in it, and I'm going to walk you through this. We can do this. I know it's hard. I know it hurts. I hate death also. I hate that it comes and it steals our joy and it steals our life. I know all of that. And I just want to go through it with you. The purpose of Christmas is we have a God in it with us. He's with us. He is Emmanuel. One of the coolest words that God calls himself is he calls himself with. I am with you in this. And it's not just for our kids. that maybe are going through hardships in life. It's for me. It's for you. I don't know whatever those situations that you're walking through, but he's with you. And as we go through this Christmas season, I know that Christmas, what it does is it magnifies. It puts a magnifying glass on family, on loss, on things that aren't always awesome, things that are awesome. It just magnifies these moments. And here's my cry today. Maybe for some of you, you're sitting there and just like, man, I don't know how to connect with my kids. I'm trying, and I'm at a loss. The peacock says they've lost the matriarch, or maybe you've lost people in your family. Maybe you've lost a spouse. Maybe you've lost a child. I don't know what the loss is, but Jesus knew the loss. He engaged in the pain, and he's with us even now in our pain. And so my prayer this morning is, Jesus, just come and heal these broken places. Jesus, let my attitude not be like Mary and some of Lazarus's friends and to point the finger. Where were you? Why weren't you here? But instead of saying, Jesus, thank you that you have come. And thank you that you're in it now with me. And Jesus, thank you that I can just weep and I can cry and I can grieve in front of you, and you understand that prayer. And that you're the God who will respond. He's good, people. And the purpose of Christmas is that he's come to be in it with us. So as we close here this morning, I want you to just think, Jesus, I need you in this situation. I need you in this situation. Identify a couple of them, and we're just going to pray over those. And we're going to ask for the biggest miracle of all, that he's going to walk it out in the midst of the hardship. Would you all stand with me this morning as we close in prayer? Dear Jesus, thank you, Lord, that you have not left us to have to process the pain by ourselves. Thank you, Jesus, that you have not left us with the loss by ourselves. Thank you, Jesus, that we don't have to go through the grief alone. Thank you for Christmas, that you were born into hardship. You were born for this stuff. Jesus was, he's built for this. He's made for this stuff. And Jesus, I pray that you would engage every hard situation right now. Jesus, we pray that you would bind up broken hearts, that you would love us in the midst of the pain and the loss. And Jesus, we pray that this holiday season, even in the midst of the pain and the suffering, we would see that, God, you're still good. And you are Emmanuel, the God who is with us. In Jesus' name, amen.
So we're so glad that you were with us today. You can subscribe on iTunes or Spotify or your preferred podcasting app. Be sure to rate us so other people can know about the podcast.